Welcome to CHMA Talks. Today we're taking a trip on CHMA Talks. We're heading over to the Social Action Fair held in Sackville on Wednesday by Mi'kmaq and Maliseet social work students from all over the Maritimes. It might surprise you to find out that in addition to a couple thousand Mount Allison students in Sackville, the town is also home to a small group of St. Thomas University students, if only for a week out of every month. Students in the Mi'kmaq Maliseet social work program at STU don't actually study in Fredericton, but rather they gather with their professors in a more geographically central location, Sackville, to do their intensive studies. The program takes 3 years to complete and graduates about 20 students each year. One of the courses sees the students researching a relevant social issue and presenting to the public as a way to educate and inform about Indigenous experience. While in previous years, the resulting Social Action Fair has been hosted in Fredericton, this year the students set up in Tweedy Hall on the main floor of the Student Center at Mount Allison University. I attended on Wednesday and brought along my recorder, and the students gracefully agreed to share their presentations for radio.
My name is Lorette LeBobe. I'm from Member 2 First Nation.
I'm Chase Labilla from Upgeganjik First Nation.
All right. You're both students in the Mi'kmaq Maliseet social work program at STU.
Yes.
Tell me about what you're presenting here today.
Indigenous suicide awareness. We'd like to bring some awareness to the fact that there's approximately 100,000 people that die of suicide each year, and we lack a lot of services here within the Indigenous populations, and we'd just like to see that some better legislation would be made up.
The suicide rates among Indigenous people are actually 2 times higher than that of non-Indigenous people, so that's quite alarming. And we found that there's provincial funding for suicide prevention, but not federal. So that means for Indigenous people living on reserve, there's no funding for suicide prevention. So one of our group members came up with the hashtag YouGood, and it's just simply a way to, you know, just, are you okay?
Instead of conversation going.
Started. So we have stickers that we've done up, and it would be useful for a conversation piece. So if somebody notices your sticker that says YouGood, you're able to talk about Indigenous suicide awareness and just explain that that's what this hashtag's for.
So sort of using a bit of social media, like peer-to-peer support, like getting people to encourage that kind of conversation? Yeah.
Yes, we actually have a Facebook page, hashtag YouGood. So don't be shy to go give it a like.
I'm Shelley Young. We're all from Eskasoni. My group members are Erica Gould and Samantha Denny. So we decided to talk about breaking down stereotypes, and basically what we're doing is we're challenging some of the Canadian general stereotypes that you'll see out there, like that we're tax-free, we don't pay taxes, we get free housing, free education, drunk. You see my shirt? It says drunk Indian on here. She's wearing a welfare bum shirt and a tax-free engine. These are some of the stereotypes that are already planted onto us, do you know what I mean? And they couldn't be farther from the truth. So what we did here is we put down like some of the roots of our, basically our history and some of the things that have contributed to all these different stereotypes, and to try to educate people about the realities of First Nations. So you see this picture here. This is a recent picture of a family all living together, and that's how it is in our communities. There's sometimes, a lot of times, there's like at least 3 generations of people living under one roof. That the house is in like deplorable condition because we don't have the funding, we don't have the houses, we don't get a free house just like that. You know what I mean? Education, there's limited funding for that. We have to, you know, most of us, myself included, have been on government loans, and there's just very limited resources for communities. A lot of our communities don't have any clean drinking water. We have a lot of homeless people. And for the drunk Indian, you'd probably, you know, we have this stereotype about drunk Indians, but there was a study done that Indigenous people actually drink less than the regular population. Do you know what I mean? And so we put this all there, and we just want to, like, change the narrative. We want people to be aware because stereotypes are harmful. There's a lot of systemic racism, systemic stereotypes that we have to face, and they're not only harmful for us in how, you know, we have to face them, but I find it's harmful for all Canadians to be carrying those stereotypes and not trying to change the narrative and not trying to have that understanding and working together.
Why did you personally decide that this would be the issue that you chose for the Social Action Fair today?
I think it's just because we personally live it. And it's something that we often struggle with as Indigenous people. So we wanted to just break those barriers that we have. And because it does affect our people. So we want to make that change and make that shift. And yeah.
And we want other people to educate themselves, educate other people. Even if you went and told two other people about some of these things that you've learned. Also, we have this card here. We have started an Instagram page, and in this card, it's called Deconstructing Stereotypes on Instagram. So if people look up this handle, you'll be able to see some of the information that we've posted. And basically, it's a safe place for people to learn about the history of Indigenous peoples in Canada. And we ask people, you know, there's sometimes you have all these questions about Indigenous people, about that life, and it's hard for you to ask because you don't want to also come off as racist or prejudiced. But it's really important to have the conversation and have the courage to have the conversation. And so we're asking people, like, if you have questions and you want to get some education around it and you just want to ask a question, you could send a DM to the Instagram handle and you'll be, you know, we'll answer and be free. And it's a safe place for people to just have a conversation. Just have the conversation and have the courage to have the conversation to help in deconstructing the stereotypes.
I'm Shannon Ginnish, and I'm in the Mi'kmaq Maliseet BSW program. And our issue today is the harm reduction. Mainly, we just wanted to end the stigma around harm reduction. We're just starting from the ground up here. A lot of research has been put into it, but not a lot of Indigenous stuff has been incorporated in harm reduction. So we're going to try to incorporate that along our research because we do want to keep going with it after this. Right now we're talking about the stigma, and here we have a silhouette of a person who has all these words like addict, loser, junkie, and we just wanted to like make positive notes on the person. Like, there's some Mi'kmaq words there. There's Melkiganut, that means strong. There's Welogwin, means you're doing good. And Gisalo means I love you. So, and then there's mother, courageous, and neighbor.
Maybe give me the idea behind harm reduction itself.
Well, we wanted to start off with the components. So what harm reduction is just like, it says any program or policy designed to decrease harmful health, social, or economic consequences of substance use while not insistent upon abstinence. A lot of the Western ways are like, oh, you have to quit drugs, you have to stop drinking, like, you just have to be sober. But with harm reduction, it, like, kind of starts the process of, like, just being more healthy and maybe not, like, people overdosing or getting diseases. So the types of approaches that we would use are the safe needle distribution, replacement therapies like methadone or Suboxone, and supervised consumption sites, which we don't have around here at all, but it is a topic that is being discussed right now, and just like group meetings like Alcohol Anonymous and stuff.
What would the takeaway be for someone? What would you like their takeaway to be for someone coming here today?
Well, our main goal was to end the stigma. So we have a card here, and it's a pledge card. And anybody who takes this card, you can sign it, and it's my pledge to end harm reduction stigma. So these are the three pledges. Speak up when I see or hear someone being discriminated against. Change the language used around addictions, reducing the stigma, and educate community people about harm reduction facts. So I guess it would be like, this would be our action, is to get people to, you know, stop calling these people fiends and junkies and, you know, use a different language and get more knowledge on harm reduction and realize that it's not promoting drugs, but promoting healthy people.
My name's Keisha Bernard. I'm the I'm one of the students for the Mi'kmaq Maliseet Bachelor Social Work Program. I'm from Eskasoni First Nation. We decided to do our project on the missing and murdered Indigenous women, LGBTQ2S. And our goal for our presentation is to help spread awareness, advocate, and also to promote action.
Missing and murdered Indigenous women, I mean, we have, you know, cases all over the Maritimes and Atlantic Canada. Is this something that's, you know, affected you personally? Like,
well, yeah, like, I feel like we all are affected personally because, you know, Indigenous women are three times more likely to be victims of violence. And so as an Indigenous woman, I always feel like, you know, I have to be on guard and I have to be careful because, you know, you just never know.
I'm Caitlin Nash. I'm from St. Mary's First Nation. We're focusing on relationships. So, you know how there's red flags in relationships, like the bad. We're focusing on the good because we feel like some First Nations youth, especially female youth, they don't know about the green flags in relationships. So we wanted to focus on like spreading awareness about the green flags so they know what is good and what is bad so they can vacate the situation if they would need to.
Interesting. So focusing on what you should invest in.
Yeah.
What are some of the green flags, would you say?
Like the person supports your personal growth, respects your boundaries, and compromises when necessary. So they compromise to like your needs. And in healthy relationships, people can feel safe, respected, and accepted for who they are. And we want to honor that and spread awareness on that. With the Silent Witness Project in New Brunswick, they do silhouettes of Indigenous women that were murdered by their partner for domestic violence. And we have Rowena Sharp here from my reserve, St. Mary's First Nation. I knew her personally. I grew up on the same street as her and was best friends with her children growing up. It was really nice having her. It's really nice having her here because like we get to honor her spirit.
You guys have her with you?
We borrowed her from the Silent Witness Project, which is in Marysville, okay, in Fredericton. Mm-hmm.
So a little bit more on the Silent Witness Project is a traveling exhibit of life-size red woolen silhouettes. Each represent a woman who was killed by a current or former husband, partner, or acquaintance. Because these women no longer have a voice, the silhouettes are called the Silent Witness. Each figure bears the name of a woman who once lived and worked among us.
I'm Tori Solomon, and I'm from Tobik First Nation, Ngukuk. A part of our project is raising awareness of how this is a systemic issue. It's a really time for action. The numbers, the statistics, they've been going up and up, and it's just, at this point, there needs to be the adequate services. There needs to be places for our women to heal so they don't find themselves trapped in situations that are, you know, harmful to them. So that was just another big part of our project, is talking about how, like, so systemic issues have caused our women to go missing and murdered, like, to be missing and murdered. You know, a lot of times women escape one bad situation to find themselves in another, just trying to survive. You know, that could be ending up running with people that, you know, traffic drugs or something, and then they end up in the prison system, which, you know, how that goes. And so it's just really a systemic issue that we also spoke about in our project. Like,
you're listening to CHMA Talks on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick, on the traditional and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Today we're taking an audio tour of a social action fair that visited Sackville, hosted by Mi'kmaq and Maliseet social work students from First Nations across the Maritimes. Let's get back to it.
So my name is Brandy Parr. I'm from St. Mary's First Nations. So we decided on our presentation here that we were going to address mental health and the stigmas through the use of the medicine wheel. So we're looking at all four quadrants. We're looking at the mental, the spiritual, the emotional, and physical, and we've done different aspects to address those things and how you can go about that. So we created a TikTok account. It's called Resiliency in Me, and through our TikTok account, we're addressing some of the myths behind self-care, ways in which you can address your mental and emotional and physical and spiritual health. We've also have some education about our sacred medicines like sage, sweetgrass, tobacco, and cedar. And we're really excited to be here and do this presentation and, you know, look at potentially like helping with the ending the stigma.
My name is Terri Ann Johnson, and I'm from Member 2 First Nation. I want to first talk about why we decided to choose this topic as our social action fair. So in the past year, 53.8% of students had felt hopelessness, 10% had a diagnosis of depression, 8% have been diagnosed with substance abuse or addiction, and 1.3% had attempted suicide. So we've struggled during a pandemic, doing online and working. Some of us are parents, some of us take care of sick family. There's a lot on our plate. So we just wanted to see what we could do, or if everybody else was struggling the same way we were, and take it from an Indigenous perspective and really look at it through a medicine wheel point of view.
My name is Trisha Sabier, and I'm from Tobik First Nation. So my aspect, or my quadrant, was the spiritual component. And here I thought we should focus on the medicine. So we have four traditional medicines in our culture, and it's sage, sweetgrass, tobacco, and cedar. So they're really important because each one has its own like energy. For instance, like sage, if you have any negative emotions or feelings or whatever, you can have you can light sage to get rid of those negative energies. And also we use sage to do a daily smudge to, I guess we smudge our eyes so we can see good things for the day, ears so we can like hear good things and listen well to others as they're speaking, in our mouth so that we can say good things about others, or when we say things in a good way, we'll smudge our mind so that we can think properly in good positive energy, our hearts, and then we smudge our feet so we can continue to walk on a good path for that day and the days to come.
My name is Bridget Moulton. I worked on the emotional quadrant, and I talked a lot about how to emotionally take care of yourself. And to do that, a lot of people think it's just, you know, your emotions and taking care of your emotions, but really it's taking care of your body as a whole. You have to take care of all four aspects in order to feel whole, and it's important to have healthy emotional coping mechanisms. So one of the techniques we have here is smudging and our medicines, of course. That's our first grounding technique right away. We also have healing frequencies to help with anxiety and just the, you know, being up here and getting all this going. It's a little nerve-wracking. So we wanted to keep ourselves as calm and balanced as possible and grounded. So we also have the prayer tobaccos to help with, you know, sometimes the guidance up above gives us strength to get through the day, right? So we like to make those connections to everything. So that's what we have here today.
My name is Sandra Germain, and I'm the coordinator for the Mi'kmaq Maliseet BSW program. And the program was launched in 2005, and that's when we brought in our first cohort. We've since had, this is our sixth cohort that we're going into now, so it's been about 17, 18 years. And every 3 years in a program like this, we graduate approximately 20 Mi'kmaq and Maliseet students who go on to become social workers and work in their community. And without this program, we would not have all those graduates working in their communities. And we're recruiting for the next cohort already, so it's a never-ending process. We barely have to, advertise, because students are always coming to us saying, you know, can we get in your program, can we get in your program? And it's if anything, we're very, we're very under the radar, when in fact, if you really start to look at it closely, it's an extremely successful program. And it shows the students are, for the most part, they're already working in various social fields, but they can't leave their communities and their families for long periods of time. So this program provides for them to come to a central location like Sackville 1 week per month over a three-year period. And this is something that they're able to manage. So it's the program is designed for mature students that are working in health and social services.
That's interesting. And as a Mi'kmaq Maliseet social work program, does it also, I mean, is there different content than your average social work program?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, we follow St. Thomas's curriculum. The courses are identical. What we do, though, when we have a curriculum committee made up of First Nations people, we take a look at that course curriculum, and we help the instructor to indigenize it. In other words, make it relevant to everything that's going on in First Nation communities. So if you were to walk into any one of our classes, and like you're here now, for example, everything that they're being taught is about, it's relevant to them. And the instructors have to agree to change their core curriculum, if you will. You cannot bring a mainstream curriculum into a program like this without it's almost a major overhaul. It's not a tweak. It's a very serious unpacking of a mainstream course that's being offered on campus. And so far, the students, they just love it because it's all about them. So, yeah, we make put a lot of effort into indigenizing, or I call it ulnoizing, which is we're ulno, we're the people, so we try to make the course look and feel and smell like the people. Yeah.
Now, it's been, so every 3 years you'll get a new class in, is that how it works?
That's right.
So over the years, that must mean there's a fair number of graduates out there in the world. Do you see that... Like, how will that affect the program over the years? Will you have, you know, graduates coming back to teach in the program? Like, how is that going to...
That's exactly what we're looking at. I can say that we've had over... once this group graduates, we will have graduated about 140 Mi'kmaq and Maliseet students that would never have had an opportunity otherwise without the program. Many of them are now going on to get their master's degrees so that they, in turn, can teach in the program. And in fact, St. Thomas is right now in the process of developing a Indigenous Master's in Social Work program. So these students will just automatically, you know, flow into there. And I think we're going to have about 15 to 20 seats per year. And our priority will be the graduates from this program. However, we will take in other First Nation social workers that have graduated from the mainstream program as well. So, yeah, there is a continuation for sure.
Building up.
Yep.
All right, well, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
That was Sandra Germain, the coordinator of the Mi'kmaq Maliseet Social Work Program at St. Thomas University. Students in the program presented a social action fair on Wednesday in Sackville. That's all for our show this week. Tune in again next Thursday at 6 p.m. for another episode of CHMA Talks. I'm your host, Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.